Hello, and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day 68. You missed your cue, Mike. Go on, here you go.
Day 68. I can't hear you.
Once more with feeling.
Day 68.
Well, there's no reason. If anybody else can hear me, let me know. Mike's probably plugged something into the wrong socket. Just saying. But I get into trouble for just saying. Right, I'll go in and see if I can see the chat. I'm assuming you've sorted that out. As well as squeaking the chair, Mike. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Paul. Jonathan's had a rather exciting day.
I heard the music.
Let me know if you can hear me.
Jonathan can hear you.
Yay! That's good, but you can't.
So I could hear the music, but I can't hear you.
That's not good. Why would that happen? Absolutely no reason why that would happen, Mike.
Oh, well, never mind.
Do you want to refresh something or other?
Well, I'm plugged directly in, so...
So where can't you hear me?
In here.
That's because I'm not you and you won't do.
Oh, right.
Crying out loud. Go and get the staff. Hello, Kim. Kim's getting dinner and she can hear me. It's just Mike being ridiculous as usual. What can I say? Yes, we all want to know what Kim's got for dinner. And did Johnny's toy arrive? Ooh, it did. Excellent. We're going to hear all about that shortly when Mike can finally hear everything. Right, I'm going to play it on here and see if I can hear it. Hello. There you go, you see?
Now I can hear you.
I'm considerably behind there. Yes, that's because I'm playing it, Mike.
Right.
You'd need to hear it there like that.
Yes.
Yes? But why would you need to do that?
I don't know.
No, I don't know either. You're being ridiculous, Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, I literally cannot get the stuff.
No.
No, that's how we have to have it, Mike, or Johnny can't ring in.
Oh, right.
Because you'd be hearing me three times, and while I might enjoy that, I don't think anybody else would. We've got a message from Graham as well. He's poorly. Is his volume down? Paul, he's playing around with that, but I control his volume. He's being ridiculous. He's listening to it the wrong way. Just ignore him. He'll catch up in
ignore
the end.
Ignore me. I'll go away.
Hello, Simon. Ooh, your baking just gets better by the second. Now, Graham. Graham's poorly. Graham's had to go to hospital. He's okay. He's got to go back next week. So good luck, Graham. We're all rooting for you. It's an eye thing. It's not COVID. Not that we're aware of anyway. So it's still worrying having to go anywhere near a doctor, isn't it? Mind you, I feel like that most of the time. But that's just me. Obviously, Pete is an exception to that. Hello, Mrs. Simon. How has your birthday week ended? Let us know. We need to know things like that. We do. What else did I have to share? Let me have a look at all my post-it notes. No, they're for a totally different thing. Just what's on tonight, I think. Yes. Who's read the email? Always like to see who's catching up and who's reading the email. I've gone back to my own keyboard, so anything could happen. And it's also... Well, we'll share that later, I think. I think we'll share that bit later. There is an offer on today, which I'll mention later as well. But if you're not with us later, you'll need to know about it now. Paul, you may want to look away and cry quietly. It's a UK offer on the Microsoft 365 subscription, which obviously doesn't translate to the States. But it is on offer today if you are interested in it for the princely sum of £47.99 as opposed to £99.99. Not that it's ever that price over here, unless you buy it directly from Microsoft, and who in the right minds would do that? Not yet, but you got the tweet about the Affinity Publisher. Oh, the mail should have gone out earlier, shouldn't it, Mike? About quarter to. What's this I hear about Prince Charles wanting everyone to pick berries? Oh, Kim, head desk, Prince Charles, not quite all there. Always been a sandwich short of a picnic as Prince Charles. What's he been up to this time? The last I heard was he wanted the virtual book of remembrance being dealt with. Let's have a look. I think I did hear about that the other day. He's very into horticulture. He talks to the plants and stuff. So it wouldn't surprise me. It literally would not surprise me. But, you know, he's worrying about picking berries. And people are still dying. I think it was another 351 today, taking the total for the UK to 36,393. But the answer to it is picking berries. Commoners pick fruit for his tenant farmers for a pittance. Sounds about right, Simon. You see, I told you he wasn't all there. As long as he's got lots of money, he's fine. One thing that did come out today that Mike mentioned, I'll get the link, is that the lady who came up with the idea for the Clap for Carers thinks it should end after its 10th week, which would be next Thursday, and then make it an annual event. So I'll put the link in for that. I did feel this week people only came out because we did. And I wonder if we hadn't have gone out making one heck of a noise with our tambourines, as Paul mentioned, considering I didn't have my phone because it wouldn't connect. I wonder if other people would have come out. Jonathan could end up with extra klaxons. What we could do, Jonathan, we could move it from a Thursday to a Friday, and you could klaxon out of the window when Mac Bites After Hours starts. Or, even funnier and far less predictable, you could klaxon out of the window when there's a new Mac Bites. In fact, I might buy a klaxon for that purpose. Who thinks that's a good idea? I do. I think a line is going to need to be drawn, because otherwise it will peter out. And I think if they go out on a high with the 10th week, it would end on a high. But how about a monthly one? Is this a monthly Mac Bites, Paul? Don't upset Jonathan. I still think there's scope for it. We're nowhere near back to normal, are we? But I can see where they're coming from. It's just been nice that, you know, you're going out and you're seeing like neighbours that you don't know from Adam. There's a house across the road, and when we moved in, this is across the big busy main road, not our tiny little side road. And when we moved in, we didn't know until my dad said, oh, I know him, that there was a couple lived opposite that worked for a part of the company that my dad worked for, but he worked at a totally different branch. But for years and years, must have been a good 20 years, you know, we knew these people to chat to and invite to parties and stuff. And they both died. They were in their late 80s, early 90s. And the house got bought by somebody else, and we don't know them. We literally don't know them. But through this coming out and clapping for carers, despite the fact we're probably about 50, 60 yards apart from each other, we're waving to each other. Not a clue what their names are, but I can imagine once it was over, you'd kind of go across and say hello. So it is nice, but I felt this week we were possibly reaching the end anyway.
Is this the Asian family?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one who left his bin outside our house last week.
That's because they didn't take it though or something, wasn't it?
I think he forgot to get up and put it out myself.
Yes, but you know what the bins are like around here. Science is an understatement.
He was stood opposite, in the house opposite, the road opposite, umming and ahhing as to where to leave his bin, looking a bit suspicious at 6:30 in the morning. I was outside with Lola, yeah, and he spots me and he comes over.
Oh, bless.
And he says, I'm just going to leave this out here because they missed it.
Hey, at least it was his own bin. Seriously, this happened a good few years ago. The couple opposite on our road decided to go and live in France. Was it for a year or two?
Year, I think.
Anyway, they disappeared over to France and they let their house here to a young couple. And one particular night, what they didn't realise was we worked incredibly late. And Mike was putting the bin out. In fact, the bin was out, wasn't it? I think we were taking Mayor out.
Yeah.
And he had come across the road and was putting rubbish in our bin. My mother went orbital. You can imagine my mother. Oh, my. Because you don't know what they're putting in your bin. And although once it's out of Well, it wasn't actually technically off our property. It was actually on the driveway. But if they put something in your bin and then the bin police come round to check your bins and they've put the recycling in the wrong one, it's you that would get done for it. So I've said, like, he did what? He put his rubbish in our bin. And I said, oh my God, you know, if Mum finds out. And we had to check it and make sure that there wasn't recycling in you know, recycling products in the non-recycling bin and vice versa. You shouldn't have to keep an eye on your bin. But I can see it getting to the stage where the bins have got locks on, seriously. It is that bad in this country with bins. So at least it was his own bin he was wheeling across. He wasn't taking the rubbish and putting it in ours. That should be a criminal offence, seriously. Hello, Anthony. CQ, Deb. CQ. So Jonathan wants a monthly one for carers. I could do that. I think the problem with it is it loses its momentum. And people forget, is it this week or was it next week or did we do it last week?
Yeah, it's a bit like the bins, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit like the bins. The bin collection's not back to normal yet. They're working on it. Some point, you know, we're going to have to do the garden before it gets waist high.
Yeah, because she lay in it today and I couldn't find her.
The grass is just, it's the fact we had rain for a long time and then the sun came out and that's it. And obviously I'm going to have to go and play with the hedges at some point as well.
We can't do that at the same time as the grass.
Can't we?
God, there's not enough room in the green bin.
Oh. That's my point, though. Well, maybe the grass, we just use a flamethrower and be done with it.
Maybe we could borrow somebody else's green bin.
Yep, just hijack a green bin.
Like
that'll
they
do.
Did to us.
Just walk up and down the street, find one that's half empty and stick your rubbish in it. That's what everybody else is doing.
Actually, seriously, a couple of weeks ago, somebody did that. They chopped a load of, I don't think it was trees, it was bushes, and he had it on the grass verge for about a week. And when it was green bin day, he filled everybody's bin with a bit. But
that really shouldn't be allowed, though, because
I presume he asked them. I presume he asked
well,
the
neighbors. You presume, but you know, you've no guarantee that that has actually
but then
happened.
It actually took 2 weeks to fill.
Well, that's the problem. The green bin's not big enough.
Yeah.
But that's a whole different saga.
Yeah. Don't get to going on bin size.
No.
No.
The science of the bin collection could keep me occupied for years. Not even joking. But we have news, don't we, Jonathan? Have you eaten? Have you eaten, Jonathan? Are you free to talk to us? Do you want to share your good fortune with everybody? Let me know in the chat, Jonathan. Oh, it's had an exciting day. I was so glad it was early because my iPhone 11 was really late, as you all know. And I was trying to... Well, luckily, I didn't even bother with the makeup, did I, for that party? I did it when I got there. and there was a thing about, did you actually answer the door with any clothes on? Oh, yes, just not the ones I was going out in later. He is indeedy. Excellent. Well, you just ring me, Jonathan. Everyone will hear it ringing. You will go straight through and we'll be able to talk to you. Mike will be able to hear you, but he'll have to come over here to talk to you. So give me a call and let's see if it's all working swimmingly. Because I'm making predictions it's working swimmingly.
Not quite an unboxing, Kim. It's a report.
Well, it's been unboxed. Here's the lovely Jonathan. Here he is. Hello.
Hello, Elaine. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. I take it you can hear me okay?
I can certainly hear you okay.
Even
fantastic.
I can hear you.
Mike can hear you. And I'm
Hi,
sure
Mike.
We'll soon find out that the chat room can hear you too.
Fantastic.
You need to talk into there.
It was flawless introduction, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Flawless.
Yep, we've improved since the first time, haven't we?
Absolutely. 2 out of 3. I think I'm a natural man.
You are getting there. So how has your day been?
Oh, it's been very exciting. So woke up this morning and checked the deliveries app and at 7:15 it was out for delivery. But unfortunately with UPS, I couldn't get a delivery window. It just said before 9 p.m, which wouldn't have been particularly good if it arrived at 9 p.m. because
we could have done it live.
Could have been a live unboxing. So it actually arrived just about 11:45. I got a phone call from the driver who said that he was downstairs and would I come and see him. So he told me what to do. He said he'll put the parcel on the floor, he'll step back, and he'll take a picture of me holding it, and then I'm free to go.
This is so scientific now, isn't it?
Exactly. Although I could have been anybody.
You could have, couldn't you?
He said, "Are you Jonathan?" And I could have just gone. Could have gone yes.
If only I'd have been there.
Exactly.
I could have ended up with a new MacBook Pro.
Yeah. Exactly. So I brought it upstairs, and I had some anti-back wipes at the ready. Completely covered the box in those wipes. And then set up my tripod and phone. It was very high tech. I know you sent me some links to phone adapters to put them on a tripod, but I couldn't get them to arrive in time. So I literally sellotaped my phone to the tripod.
That's what we like.
Yeah, it was very, very high tech.
use what works.
Exactly. And I did that for the unboxing. So I've done some speed tests to compare the Mac which I had and the Mac which I've got, and I absolutely love it. I started the prep work for it to set it up this morning. Unsurprisingly, I couldn't sleep and I was off work today. So
couldn't sleep. Somebody's going to need a nap.
I know. I've not had a nap today. So
this might not end well for you.
Your chances of extending your lead are quite high, but it was relatively easy to move things over. There were two sections to moving it over. Really, there were the applications and data, and I don't really have that much data stored locally. If it's all on a NAS, if it's personal. And if it's work related, it's all SharePoint or OneDrive. So there was no documents to transfer. The only stuff really, which was data, might have been a couple of files on my desktop, but they came over with iCloud because I backed that up. The applications were a bit more challenging, but I got a full list of all of the applications that were in my folder before my laptop arrived. And I did what I think most people probably do. They have a look at the mission critical apps. So those were the priority ones. Then there was like standard priority where the bulk of the apps sat, and then low priority. And I took out the set app ones. The high priority ones were things like 1Password. Absolutely need it to set everything else up, really. Alfred was number two. You're absolutely right. And then there's an app in the App Store called Clipboard History, which I can't remember. I think it's like £3 or something like that. And it's a clipboard manager, effectively. And because I knew I'd be copying and pasting a lot between different apps, that was number three.
You mean things like, don't use the built-in one in Alfred?
I don't actually know.
Can the one in
Alfred do pictures?
It can.
Oh.
It can, and you've got granular level control now as well. So you can say keep text for 3 months, but pictures for a week, and all kinds of stuff. Definitely worth looking at.
Oh, I'll have a look at that. But it was really easy. I had all of the installer files. I downloaded them before and put them on a USB drive so that I didn't have to go anywhere to get them all. But it was really easy. Things like SetApp had 34 of my apps. I made some notes, but 34 of my apps. And it was just really easy to download them. And what I found doing was even apps which I'd purchased direct and had a license for, I downloaded on SetApp because it was just easy rather than going into 1Password, getting the license information out and pasting it in. It was really, really easy. I think it took about 2 hours to do what I needed to do, but it was great fun. And I've noticed that it's running a lot cooler than my old one did to do roughly the same thing. And I've already tested it with Parallels screen recording and using one of the Affinity apps at the same time. And my old one just couldn't do that. It had, my old one had 8 gigs of RAM. This one's got 32. So obviously there will be a bit of a difference in that. But it is, it's, I absolutely love it. And I'm not going to spend as much time waiting for stuff to happen when I'm working, which is obviously a good thing.
Absolutely. Which was the other one that you had? What year was it?
So it was a 2018 MacBook Pro 13-inch. I bought it in January 2019. It was a refurbished model, but it came pretty much, it was effectively brand new. And I think if I'd had 16 gig of RAM in it, I probably wouldn't have upgraded as soon as I have done. I think that was probably the thing that held me back from doing things. Some of the speed tests, although I've gone from an i5 to an i7 now, it's still a 2.3 gigahertz, and I don't know what the turbo boost is, but I'd imagine that's the same. So the processing speed is roughly the same, I think, if not a tiny bit higher, because I've gone from i5 to i7. But it's the multitasking, which the RAM has given me.
Yeah.
And as we all know, we can't upgrade the RAM in laptops. Otherwise, we'd all probably just upgrade our RAM rather than buy new machines.
Exactly. That's Apple for you. That is the thing that annoys me most about Apple.
I was going to say, when I upgraded my iMac to the one I've got now, which is the 27-inch, it's got 64 gig, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got 64. The previous one, my 21-inch, had 16, I think.
16.
I've noticed the difference. You know, I've got Fusion Parallels running all the time, so I've got Windows running. Whereas if I shut down a virtual machine and then had to restart it, it could be there for 5 minutes.
Yeah. That was one of the biggest differences, wasn't it? It just annoys me. I mean, the iMac, the 27-inch, you can upgrade the RAM, which is just as well. We paid about £1,600 for... because we replaced the whole lot. There wasn't really a way around that, because they actually fill the slots. So it isn't a case of there's a couple of slots free. You actually have to replace what's already there. So it cost quite a lot, but it's definitely worth it. I mean, some people sell the RAM. Pro tip, don't do that. Not at that point. I know it's worth more at that point, but if you've got your AppleCare on and you have to send it back, it has to go back with
the other RAM.
So I have a drawer full of RAM, all labelled and dated. It looks like a sample drawer. But, you know, it's useless. So I only ever buy it with the absolute minimum. But a laptop's a totally different business, and I think you'd have to go the other way. Something strange happened here today, didn't it, in regard to laptops, Mike? He's got no idea. He's got a little vacant face on him. No. I specced up, and Jonathan saw it when I opened up Safari, and I'd specced up two laptops. One was exactly the same as yours, and the other, I think, was the 16-inch. And I got yours to £2,666. And I remember it because I said to Mike, 666, I'm not going anywhere near it, not with the day I had yesterday. Anyway, I opened up the site, and when you open up the site again, it defaults back to the 16 gig of RAM and the lower processor. So just because it was in front of me, you know, as you do, like a moth to a flame, I had to go back and put in the 32 gig. And which hard drive did you go for?
It came with the 1 terabyte as standard. So I've gone from 256 all the way up to 1 terabyte. I think the model which you priced out is the same model which I actually got.
I put the 1 terabyte on it.
I'd imagine you would.
I got a business discount on it, but it was still 2666. Now, I know you were part exchanging, weren't you, as well?
I'm selling privately. Strange tale with that. If you put my Apple serial number in one of the Apple systems, it comes out as expected. If you put it in the part exchange one, it comes out as a 2012 iMac, presumably the serial number of the device previously. And
how convenient on Apple's part.
Exactly. So I could get £75 for a MacBook, which sells privately for a lot more. And speaking to people at Apple through the chat beforehand, they can't overrule it. They can see one system says something and they can see another system says another. And of course, the only way to correct it is to go into a store, which we can't do. So I'm going to sell it privately and get a lot more than 75 quid. I'd imagine a lot of people in the chat would probably take it off my hands for 75 quid.
I'd take it off your hands, £75, Jonathan. That's criminal. Apple really do. You know, given the situation we're in, you can't say we could sort it in store. You've got to do it online. It's ludicrous.
Exactly.
I had a similar issue with them over AppleCare, not actually the product itself, but the AppleCare. I had the repair. Do you remember the repair that went wrong? Yeah. Which one?
Yes.
Which one? It was the one where I ended up with a brand new machine. So because it was a brand new machine and it shipped from Apple, I was eligible for AppleCare, but it had to be bought with the purchase. So it arrived and it was there and it was automatically registered. The only thing was it wasn't showing on my account. So I got onto them. And it had been registered to my computer, but in the name of the company who'd done the bad repair. So I went through all this rigmarole and we got it switched over and it was all fixed. And a week later, I went back to check and it had gone back again. It had vanished. So it gets onto Apple again. Oh, yes, that's registered to this company. I said, I know, we've been through this. So they sorted it out again, went back on my account. After about the fifth time of doing it, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to leave it because I'm going to give myself an aneurysm at this rate. I thought, what I'll do is, if and when I ever need to claim on the AppleCare, I will play the holy dickens with them. And luckily, the AppleCare ran out and I never needed it. But they are not helpful, are they, when something's not quite right? Unfortunately.
No.
Well, I'm glad there's such a huge difference, given that the machines are only just like 15, 16 months apart.
The biggest thing I've noticed when, because I've like I said, I've run a few tests and I'll add them into the video, which I'm hopefully going to publish. But one of the biggest things which I've noticed is actually the hard drive, which has been solid state on both. It's been a massive improvement on the speed tests, which I've run through Blackmagic. Really massive difference. We're talking probably an extra gig a second, is that right? 1,000 megabytes a second more, read and write, which is absolutely huge, considering it's, 18 months technology?
What I've noticed with an SSD, I think, is this the first Mac we've had an SSD in? I had a Fusion drive, don't touch those with a barge pole. They were useless. But I think this is the first one that I've actually had an SSD in. And it starts getting really, really slow. And so does my MacBook Air from November 2018. If it's got less than about 250 gig free, it starts crawling. And I mean crawling. But when
that's
it's got about
why.
250 gig on it and you've got 750 free, it flies. So I think there's some kind of swapping going on or something. So I would say give it a lot of room.
Well, that would probably explain it, because on my other one, I think there was about 50, 60 gig free on the hard drive. Now there's 873 gig free. So I've used, 13% compared to, a lot more percent. Three quarters probably on the other one.
Yeah, my experience has been give it as much spare space as it can get. So I have drives hung off it if I'm working on video files. So I waited until I could get a 1 terabyte SSD for £60. I put it in a case, hung it off the back, and that's like a scratch disk. So if I'm doing video, I'm going to put that video together. It all goes on this scratch disk. And the logic is when you finish the edit, you then clear the scratch disk. That's gone really well, hasn't it, Mike? There's still stuff on there. But it just means you're not juggling quite so much on the main hard drive.
And do you connect to that via USB 3 or Thunderbolt? Or?
It's just a USB-C hanging off the back. On my iMac, it's USB-C. It's USB 3. Just on a USB, a 10-port USB hub. On my MacBook Air, it's I've got multiple drives to do that with. You know those that I unboxed a while ago? A SanDisk something or other. It's like a rugged looking thing. Strange looking thing with like an orange flash across it. I've got a 1 terabyte of those and a 2 terabyte. And I basically use them like pen drives. They're in a little case. And in the case is made for this particular device. The case was about £5. But it allows you to put the cable and the adapter. So the cable that's with it will work on USB 3 and backwards if you need it, and USB-C. So obviously with my MacBook Air, I just plug it in and then work on there. So it has two jobs, that. When we went away in February, took them with me, and I used them as a scratch disk, but also to back everything up on. So it was in two locations. So yeah, I would highly recommend one of those. Think at the moment one of them's on offer. Let me have a look, because I saw that the other day. Let's have a look. SanDisk. I have no idea what it was called. SanDisk. Can you remember, Mike?
No.
But it was a SanDisk, so I'll put that in, and we'll see what it comes up with. Because, you know, they know I buy these things, and it'll probably say, you've bought one of these. Would you like seven more? That's what Amazon usually do. Let's have a look.
You're allowed seven.
I'm allowed. Yeah, I am from there. I'm not allowed seven of those. Those little pots of Angel Delight that I could do with seven more of. Absolutely. No. I'm
one sitting
myself.
Seven of them.
You could say that. I've never seen anything quite so tiny.
No.
Why can't I find it, Mike? I know what I'll do. I'll go into my orders and I'll do it from there. I'll find it there. Maybe SanDisk is one word. Think it could be. I will find this thing. You will not hide it from me. Right, last try. There we go. It is a SanDisk Extreme. Ooh, ouch. That one's not cheap. Let's try the 1 terabyte one. Nope, the prices have gone up at the moment. The 1 terabyte is $159.99. The 2 terabyte is all its money at $295.98, but I got that for about £130 when it was on offer. So will get the link for it. Keep your eye on it. And if I see it's on offer, I will let everybody know. I'll put the link to that in the chat. But I got the little case with it, never looked back. I'd not bothered with pen drive since, because obviously with these newer ones, you need a more expensive pen drive anyway to plug it directly into it, or you'd need an adapter. And I don't know what your experience has been, but my experience with the USB-C adapters, flaky, most of them.
Yeah, some of them are better than others. I can't remember the make and model of the one I've got at the moment. They seem to be okay if you just leave them plugged in and don't unplug them. It's the plugging in and unplugging that seems to upset them, particularly on the Ethernet side. So I've got one that's got HDMI, Ethernet and USB 3 ports on, and because the Ethernet is obviously faster than Wi-Fi if you've got it, everything generally works okay, but the Ethernet then becomes a bit flaky. But the one I've got at the moment's lasted longer than the others. It's lasted more than 4 months, that's quite good. You're right, if it's just storage, yeah.
I got a separate one for the Ethernet. I did have an adapter, like you're saying, one of these like dock things hanging off it. But I thought I don't actually frequently use. I would plug it in and use a cable if I was transferring a lot of data. But I actually found it was faster to just transfer it to this SanDisk thing and then plug that in. So the old-fashioned way of doing it. So I decided when I bought the dongle with all the ports on that I needed, I wouldn't worry about the Ethernet. And I got a separate one from Anker. And it was literally like £12. And Anker's an incredibly good make. And I've only ever used that one since, and it's been okay. So I think it depends on what model you buy. You know, which manufacturer.
Absolutely. I do have a question for Mike, if he's still about.
He's
about
still here. He can hear you.
The running of parallels. Do you change the settings for your virtual machine to anything manual, or do you just let parallels do its thing and optimise it itself?
No, I set it. I think I've split the 64 gig of RAM equally between Mac OS and Windows.
Okay.
And I think I set... I'll check it for you. I'll tell you later what the what hard drive space I gave to it.
That doesn't that automatically dynamically change now, though?
Hard drive space?
Or does that have to be done manually?
I think it has to be done manually.
I think I took a copy of an original one, and I did split the RAM, but the reason that Mike would probably go 50-50, I don't think many people would go 50-50, even if they've got 64 gig. But the reason that Mike does is he actually uses that as a primary device when he's presenting webinars. So it's better to have that running faster than the Mac in a way. The only thing the Mac is doing is hosting Parallels and connecting via Zoom or something. So you could probably, you could definitely get away with 50-50. You could probably get away with more. But I would say your VM runs sweet. He's it checking does. Now.
Yeah, I've got CPU and memory set to 4 processors.
Mm.
I've got memory set to 32 gig of RAM, which is half the physical RAM.
Yeah. Okay.
What else have you got?
I've got an 80 gig hard drive. That's just for the VM. So I've taken 80 gig of space out of 1 terabyte. I think that's well enough for the Windows machine. And that actually takes up about 40 gig of hard drive space. But it kind of fluctuates. It can be anywhere between 35 and 40. So don't be surprised whilst you're running it if you go to Finder and you check the size. That it does change, and even if you shut it down, it doesn't seem to release that disk space straight away. It might take 24 hours. I think you found that, haven't you?
Oh, I had real fun and games with mine. Mine usually takes up about 38 to 45, but as Mike says, sometimes you can close it down on Monday and it's Wednesday before the file size has changed from 48 to 38. That if you have to allocate almost 8%, 8 to 10% of your hard drive for a Parallels VM, you have to be quite careful because you'll eat through that 1 terabyte as soon as look at it. What I did, I created a VM to have a play with Mojave before I installed it. But then I actually moved that onto an external drive. And again, you could do that. Didn't you have some VMs on a pen drive you kept leaving somewhere, Jonathan?
I did, yes. Which
you've now sorted out.
Pen drive. Yeah, they're probably going to come off that pen drive now that I've got the storage to host them locally, so I don't need to leave them behind. But yeah, the only VMs I've got, well, I've got two Windows 10 VMs, but they have the full Office suite on both of them. Mm-hmm. After we've delivered these add-ins to Word and Outlook for the company I work for, I probably won't use the VMs nearly as much as I have done. But to have two lots of Windows machines and the full suite of Office and all the updates and all of the software which gets pushed out to a machine that's on our domain whenever it's gets connected in terms of antivirus and all the other stuff that, you know, you're probably looking at, oh, I don't know, 80 gig worth of stuff, including the VM itself per VM. So I think at least one of them will be able to be hosted locally, if not both of them for the time being. I can always put them back on the pen drive if I need to.
I always keep a version of a VM that's working, because it wouldn't be the first time you do a Windows update and that's the end of that. So having them on the pen drive is not a bad idea. It did nearly happen the other week. I came to log in. It'd obviously done some kind of update and it just sat there and sat there. Mm. And the thing was, my machine gets backed up every night, so that's fine. But that would only roll me back to yesterday. It wouldn't roll me back to last week. So having a separate copy of a working one before you update it.
It was that bad, I lent you the service.
Yes, it was that bad, I know. What I was doing, see, this is the one job that I can't do any other way. I need to check the church newsletter. And although I've got Affinity, I can't get down to train the parish secretary to use it. So we're still struggling along with Microsoft Publisher. So I have to open up the VM to load Publisher, the Publisher file, to check it. And I run like, there's always two spaces at the end of a sentence and it drives me insane. So I have to get rid of that and all of the other stuff. And this particular day, it just wouldn't open. Mike was busy. He was about to go off and train. But luckily, it was for work. So he was using his work machine. So before he left, I said, could I borrow your Surface? And he had to leave it there. What I'd forgotten was, as he departed, I thought, wonder what the password is for this thing.
But did it tempt you to want one?
I must admit, the Surface is a beautiful device. It really is.
They are nice machines.
The only thing I'd say with it is the interface is a little bit tiny. And I think it's because it's like 12 inches. I think if the Surface was 14 inches, it would be even more tempting for me. But it is a beautiful device. It's incredibly responsive. So I actually do like it. This occasion, I didn't actually need it.
I'm still not a fan of the operating system, though.
That's the problem. They've instead of making an operating system that's dedicated to a touch device, they've gone for this kind of hybrid approach, which it's neither one thing nor the other. But Mike likes it, don't you?
I like it.
I like the fact it's the full operating system, whereas an iPad to me still is not there yet. You know, I couldn't decide to take an iPad with me and then push Parallels on it and run Windows and all that kind of stuff. Which, you know, 10 years ago, we were hoping that's what Steve Jobs would announce, and 10 years on, we're still not there yet.
Also,
would he have announced it if he were with us, though?
Probably
that's
not.
That's the question.
No, probably not.
Paul's saying have Parallels.
Yeah, Paul's saying do snapshots. I was thinking that would probably take up even more space, so I just tend to back the whole thing up. But he's also saying have Parallels compress the drive size when you quit, which sounds like a grand option.
I rarely quit, though.
You just leave yours open all the time, don't you? I'm sure Jonathan and I quit as soon as humanly possible, and then some.
It takes more time for it to start up with all of the updates than it does for me to do what I need to do on it.
Yeah, I find exactly the same.
Yeah, I dread using it. I literally ask see if colleagues can do whatever they need to on their machines before I boot my VM up.
But you know, that's probably just making it worse. I open
it, right,
at least once a week to do this newsletter. And what I do, I force myself before I close it down to do all the necessary updates, which means I'm at most a week behind. But I'd say at least 50% of the time, I open it up the following week and it starts doing an update. But because it's not that far behind, it will give me the option to wait to install it so I can do the job that I'm doing and then install it. What infuriates me is when it's done all of that and you say, right, reboot, and I never say shut down and install it and shut down. I always say install it and reboot on the basis I've had machines that do not come back, and I don't want the first time I am aware it's not going to boot to be the following week when I need to do the job with it. So I always do that. When I go into it, it says there's more updates. And you're like, do you know what? I've just done this update thing. Could you not have downloaded the lot? But Windows seems to update in episodes. Does that happen to you?
Yes, it goes through phases where it doesn't do anything. And you don't really get any warning. It's not like in Mac OS where you can go, I'd rather not install the updates right now. Sometimes you get the updates whether you want them or not. And more often than not, whenever I'm getting the update is the least convenient time for it to be installing.
Exactly. That's why I try and never be more than a week behind. Was it you who had a friend who booted up and it took, there was like 6 months of updates?
I think it was me booted up the VM.
Mike's just admitted that could have been him, and Jonathan said
it could have been all of us.
We've all been there. When I don't have a newsletter to check, that's me. It's just because it doesn't update properly, doesn't it? But having said that, you know, I've been putting off and putting off and putting off the Mojave updates. Last night, big occasion, drum roll, everybody, I rebooted. And I was back up again by about 1:30 in the morning, so it wasn't too bad. But I have got that one flashing at me saying, there's one update. And I look at it, and it's Catalina. Now, yours is Catalina, isn't it?
It did. Yes, and it came with 15.4 on. Mm-hmm. and it didn't have any issues. Touch wood, it doesn't have any issues either. And I'm tempted to, well, when I wipe the hard drive off my old one, it'll reinstall OS and it'll probably come with 15.4 and download on it. But so far, so good. I can't have things with notifications in on my start bar, and I do have the system preferences on my start bar. So to have that little one there all the time would infuriate me, and it to get rid of it, it is worth taking the risk. I look at some people's phones and you see they've got like 2,000 unread emails and 1,400 updates for their apps, and it's like, how do you sleep at night? That would upset me greatly. I need to be
looking at your machine, Mike. No, I'm with you, Jonathan. I couldn't do it. I remember having a laugh with Graham and Jane and Carrie. There'd been this thing that was sat there and it was just flashing at me and flashing. And I thought, I can't do it. Don't do it. And after about 10 days, I couldn't think straight for this red thing flashing at me. And I did it.
85.
You've only got 85 updates.
85 updates.
Oh. 85 updates on his phone.
Well, I couldn't sleep at night if that were me.
There you go, you see. You're not as OCD as Jonathan. Mike does have an amazing ability to ignore them, which never ends well when I'm saying to him, we need to test X. And then I can guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, it'll be, can you just give me 10 minutes while I update everything?
And then we have a domestic.
Then we have a domestic about you, like, for crying out loud. The least you could have done was keep X, Y, and Z up to date.
I've obviously not seen my dad for probably since February because of what's going on. And normally when he asks me to look something on his phone, the first thing I do is press update for all of the apps. I dread to think how high that number is going to be when I see him next. It'll be at least in triple figures.
This sounds exactly like Mike's mother.
Yeah.
She's itching to do this update. And we're like, don't touch the update button. Put the phone down and walk away.
Well, I checked and there's nothing major.
No, but you know what it's like.
Emojis.
I don't think she'd know a emoji from a donut. Just saying. But it does. It's quite insistent, isn't it? I mean, it actually says update automatically now. Many, many people update automatically, and I'm like, no, that's not happening. But, I mean, if that phone gets bricked, that is her lifeline.
Yeah.
So exactly. That's what we've said at the moment, you know. It's not broken. It doesn't need fixing. Leave it alone. And we've actually said, you know, if you do that and it breaks, what are you going to do? And you do feel like the adult, don't you? And she's like,
you do.
I'll leave it. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, but then 2 days later, she'll get another notification and we're off again. Well, do I need to do this one? If you can't fix it, leave it alone. And obviously she can't fix it, so leave it alone. Otherwise, we'd have to drive up there and she'd be posting it out or throwing it out of the window in a bag. Yeah. And then we'd have to post it back through. It would be a nightmare. And, you know, despite the fact people are...
And the internet's shonky up there. So
the internet's diabolical. I swear it's run by a hamster on a wheel. Supposed to be 8 gig, which isn't a great speed anyway, is it? But when you think of the price she's paying for the 8 gig, but it literally goes down about 15 times an hour. And the problem is we just go on our 4G, but she's right on the Cheshire border. And I think she's literally like got nothing. There's nothing in the way of an O2 signal either. So we can't even get that. So when we're up there, our phones go on Wi-Fi calling. So we know that our O2's terrible. And at first I thought, well, it's not a problem, be on the Wi-Fi. But the Wi-Fi's diabolical. And I don't think it's the Wi-Fi. I think it's the internet. I don't know how she puts up with it.
My grandparents have got the fastest internet of all of us. It's not because they've got faster speed. It's because they've got no devices connect to it at all. So I remember when we went to my grandparents before they moved into their current place, it was horrific. They had broadband over telephone. So what 10 meg, if that, and it wasn't really 10 meg. Now we go there, they're on a 150 meg connection because they don't have any devices apart from a laptop, which isn't generally switched on. It's the fastest internet of all of ours, pretty much. And they don't use it, but well, they do use it, but not to the same level that we probably use it.
Grandma Isaacs needs that for shopping orders, you know.
She does, bless
that,
her.
That
she
might does. Be and the only thing she uses it for, but that's a lifeline these days.
Exactly. And I've got some of her crumble for dinner tonight.
I saw that on
which would be nice.
That looked fabulous. Oh, very
nice. Honestly, it was it was amazing. It was apple and summer fruits, it was absolutely amazing. I can't wait. I had a quarter of it, and I think that was quite good because I was tempted to have a half.
Because the more you have, the fewer portions you get and the sicker you'll feel.
Well, that's it, because I was having a quarter and then I go, well, I've probably just had a tiny bit more than a quarter. So would it be wrong if I actually made it an equal half? Because, I've started, so I might as well. But no, I was like, no, leave it. You can't, because a half would then become two thirds. And then before you know it, the whole thing's gone.
Yeah, it would be a shame to leave the rest, really.
Exactly, yeah. So I've got that. And my grandpa also made me some stewed apple as well.
You're a lucky boy.
I am. My grandma's already said that I've got some mushroom soup next week, which is going to be delicious. I love mushroom soup.
Oh, I hope the weather's a bit cooler. I contemplated soup today, but no, I couldn't do it.
No, soup in hot weather, I think, is more challenging. But it's going to come frozen, so I can always defrost it when it's cooler.
Oh, you are a lucky boy being looked after.
Exactly. And it's nice that I've got family nearby as well, because yes, otherwise it'd be probably a lot harder. Because, you know, you've obviously got Mike and Lola. I live in a flat by myself, and I do enjoy the quiet and the peace. But I think if you don't get some human interaction, face-to-face human interaction, you probably go a bit stir-crazy.
Yeah, it could end up like one of those... what was that film everybody's been making mention
Castaway.
Of?
Castaway.
The Shining with Jack Nicholson.
Oh, yeah.
Where
he went
crazy. Paul's mentioned Patch Tuesday, that he's been told Windows updates come out on a Tuesday. They do, Paul. It used to be a predictable one Tuesday a month. But I seem to be getting updates all times now. I think the main ones for Windows will come out on a Tuesday. But if there's critical system updates, I think they are now not keeping them back till the following Tuesday. And Simon says, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Oh, Jonathan's been playing nicely all day, trust me.
I have. Kid. I've been very busy, and I'm going to try and edit the video from my phone and put in some pictures and what have you. So it'll be done on iMovie.
Fabulous.
And so that's going to keep me busy tomorrow.
Excellent.
And then I'm going to struggle to remember that it's a bank holiday on Monday. I've got it in my mind that it's going to be a working day. So
we've finished for one of our laughable holidays, haven't we, Mike? Another one of those. You know, the one we moved from Easter because Mike was busy saving the planet, that one. It's happening. So we're putting the world on notice. So if I were you being the closest to us, I'd be careful out there. If we're on holiday, anything could happen. There could be a tsunami in Manchester.
Planned?
Nothing. I'm not making any plans at all.
There's not many plans you can make, in fairness.
Not really. I did get an email from the National Trust. We're members of the National Trust, and they said they were opening up venues, and we would love to take Lola to Dunham Massey. But when I checked, Dunham Massey isn't one of the ones that are opening. So the others are opening miles and miles away, so we can't even go there. So there isn't actually anywhere to go or anything to do, to be honest, unless you're into shopping, which I'm obviously only into remotely. So no plans at all. That means we could plan things like Mac Bites.
Well, I was going to suggest that. That'd be an absolute brilliant suggestion.
Jonathan's going to become our scheduler, Mike.
Yeah.
That would work, wouldn't it? So Jonathan's
well, it would
plan
work for
is...
me. I'm not too sure about you.
So Jonathan's plan is 1-2-7 on Monday, 1-2-8 on Tuesday. Is this your plan?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, come on. There's only so much Mac Bites you can keep up with. it. We've already killed Siri.
Ah, yes. Poor Siri. Anyway, I'm conscious of the time because you guys have got a live show. And
We have. I presume you're talking to family?
I am. They've said they're going to be a bit delayed talking to me today. So they're going to talk to me at 9:20. I've already made them aware that I have a hard out at 9:00.
You're out at 9:00.
Exactly, yeah. I've got a prior engagement. So I've got dinner to make. I don't know what I'm going to have for dinner.
Whatever it is, I shall expect a picture in Slack.
Absolutely. I'll put a picture in Slack after I've made it.
I did take a photo of mine, so I will share that with you in Slack. And then we can head off and get ready for 9:00, seeing as though both of us have got lots to do before 9:00, haven't we?
Yeah.
If only we could just stop the clock for a while. You know, maybe about 3 hours. Mm. But that's not going to happen. But thank you for ringing in and sharing your day of excitement with us. It's always good to think about NuKit, even vicariously. And we can't wait to see the video.
Indeed. You guys take care, and I'll see you on After Hours.
Okay, see you later. Good night, Jonathan.
All right, take
care. See you, Johnny.
Good night. Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, I hope everybody enjoyed that. You can all say in the chat now. It wants me to rate the call. Excellent.
Rate Johnny's call.
Hmm?
Rate Johnny's call.
There was a little bit of noise on that, wasn't there? Like bubbling water,
yeah.
I would say. Like bubbling water. but... It was good to hear Jonathan. Considering he's only up the road, you would imagine they could manage without bubbling water. But there you go. I'm going to try that, Paul, with my compress thing on quitting. I have run light maintenance on it every now and then, but I pretty much leave it alone. If it leaves me alone, I leave it alone, which I think works rather well. Are Mike's computers up to date? Paul, you know Mike. Mike's at the point, that point that no one ever wants to be at, where his version of the operating system is like one too old. So now things are saying Mojave and Catalina only, and he's on High Sierra. So there have been noises about Mike upgrading, hasn't there, Mike?
Uh-huh.
And would you be going to Mojave or Catalina?
Mojave.
Mojave's taking the safe option. I must admit, I did contemplate Catalina.
Having said that, AZ and now, is this live?
Yep.
AZ have now said you can install Catalina.
Just because AZ say you can doesn't necessarily mean it's a good idea.
True.
What would concern me is stuff, I mean, it's that old now, you're virtually on to the next one. But what would concern me is things like Wirecast and my recording software. As we discovered this week with things like Soundflower, it's tricky. It's not the big stuff that will trip you up. What will trip you up is things, nuanced things that were working and now they're not working. Then you think, oh no, that's not supported on X. I actually don't think I'd have any big issues, but I'm not about to risk it. So don't worry. I am up to date in terms of point updates and security updates. The reason I'm contemplating Catalina on some kind of machine is I need to make a video about a part of the OS. And if I do it on Mojave and I look at Catalina and the interface is fractionally different, then I'll only have to do it again. So I had a look around my machines. I usually have one, and I use the same one for years and years, that I installed updates on the day of release, because it didn't matter if this machine was rendered useless. But it died on me, and it wouldn't be supported now anyway. The other one I could have done that on is refusing to boot. So that's a job for the holiday, trying to work out what's wrong with that one, which left me with just one machine that I pondered putting Catalina on, at which point Mike said, are you sure that one will take Catalina? I said, pretty sure, because I checked when it came out. But I went back and I checked, and I do think this is quite impressive. In theory, I am not saying it would not run incredibly slowly, but it is actually installable on my 2012 MacBook Air. So that's the one that would probably get it first. Paul's put, too bad you can't test me the apps. The thing is, it'll be the nuances, Paul. You'll get something that'll say supported by Catalina, and then there'll be one part of it that isn't quite right. Wirecast is compatible with Catalina. It'll be the supporting stuff in there that might not be. So, for instance, when we've got Wirecast running, you saw it last night, had a mind of its own. I don't think that was Wirecast. I think that was YouTube, because when I switched to the backup server, everything was fine. It was just unfortunate that it was last night, because normally I would have Mike there dealing with the chat. And obviously I'm trying to deal with the chat, let everybody know what's going on, and I'm trying to fix the problem at the same time. But the backup server saved us last night. The last time that happened and the primary server went down, the backup server didn't play ball either, and we all ended up in Adobe Connect. So my horror at 8:30 was, if I can't get this going on YouTube, I'm going to have to decamp and take people elsewhere. And I was just sitting there thinking, where? Because I thought, I'm not up for the Connect malarkey. The other option would have been Zoom and then sharing a Zoom thing, which was doable. But, you know, you've got a system and it works, and everything hooks into Wirecast, and you just want to use the same thing. And the thing with Wirecast, which makes it even trickier to check it, is it's an activated piece of software and they are keen on with the activation. So to take it, I'd have to deactivate it on my main machine, put it on this old one. And I don't even know if Wirecast itself would run on the old one. It's that old. So I actually did say to Mike, I uttered these words, it's actually easier and way more time basis, like how time consuming it is to do all of this testing. And it's far easier to just go and buy a new Mac. And not even joking on that. Which was the OS when we bought this one? Last year's would have been Harvey. And I think it was Sierra. So the one before that was LCAP, wasn't it? So I think when this arrived, we were moving operating systems because you couldn't install anything older on it. But yeah, I'd actually think, and I'd go for that. That would be a possibility. I tend to replace my machines at year three, and it's year three next month. So middle of June, this machine will be 3 years old. So it'll have no Apple Care on it if anything goes wrong. Obviously, at the minute, it's irrelevant, isn't it? Can't get it to Apple anyway. But that's the time I start looking. But at the minute, I'm trying to get longer out of it. I could, of course, install it on an external hard drive and do that thing, but I shall see how it goes in our laughable holiday, because that's what we do in our holidays. But for now, we're going to head off, because I've got slides to put together, Mike's got slides to put together, and we've got YouTube to get into line by 9 o'clock. So I'm going to try and get in about 10 to, on the basis by 9 o'clock it might actually have let me in there. But thank you for being with us. I hope you've enjoyed hearing all about Jonathan's machine. We've got his video to look forward to as well. But it's good to hear that everything is fine, isn't it? Because we have had some issues with people. Was it Neil's machine? Didn't you get a new 16-inch and it was all, it was calamitous. But Jonathan, so far, so good. Excellent. So Jonathan's talking to the parents and eating his dinner as he goes. He's just pinged me and said that was great fun. It was indeed, Jonathan. Thank you for being with us. And we'll see you at 9. So it's for the moment, it's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time.